Okay. Church, I am so excited to be here this morning. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Come on, church. If any of you don't know me, my name is Cameron. I'm the youth leader here at City Light Church. I get the opportunity to speak and to preach. And I have an agricultural-based day job, many of you know. And so, you know, when harvest came, we had to get the beets in the plant. I unfortunately missed a number of the last Sundays. And walking through the doors this morning and coming home was so awesome. Church, I have missed you so much. If you're here today, if you're here online, I've missed you. I'm so excited to be up here, back where I belong, in the house of the Lord. Amen? So if you're here this morning, if you're here online, wherever you are, if you're with us, you are home, you are here. I'm here to tell you, your Father has a message for you this morning. This sermon is for you. You're here for a reason. There's something for you in it. So pull out your notebook. Pull out your pen. If you don't have one, pull out your phone. I know you won't be texting while I'm preaching. I know that. I know you're taking notes because this is a sermon worth taking notes for. I'm telling you, church, we are going to walk out today changed because of the message God wants to deliver this morning. So the message, the sermon series we're in is not the same. Not the same. And my message this morning, if you want to title it, is called Carry the Burden. Carry the burden. And I hope you leave this place encouraged and ready to do God's work and spread His message into our community. Amen? So let's read from the book of Acts. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's pray for the message. Heavenly Father, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit. Just like we sang, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We declare that over our space this morning. Holy Spirit, open our eyes, our ears, our hearts to hear and see what you have for each and every one of us this morning. And I pray that none of us would leave this place. None of us would leave our kitchen, our living room, wherever we're at online. None of us would leave without being changed because of an encounter with you, Jesus. Amen. So the early church in the time of the apostles, I feel sometimes as Christians, I don't know about you, but I imagine the early church as like a bunch of like dudes with really long beards and nice robes, and they just sat around, they prayed, and they sold their possessions, just like this passage, right? This paints like this really nice picture of the early church, doesn't it? They're all there, they're all eating together, they're all selling their possessions, they're praying, God is adding to their numbers daily. I love this image, it's so wonderful. When we read any part of the Bible, we've got to remember it's happening to people. And I like to put myself in the perspective of the people there. I think about Peter, right? He had been through Jesus' ministry. He had seen the highs and the lows. And he's there, on the day of Pentecost, he receives the Holy Spirit. He delivers this sermon. People come. You know, I think I sometimes picture Peter. He's there. He's like looking. He's like, everything's going great. We're all meeting together. Everything's wonderful. It's so great. Like, life is awesome. And I wonder if Peter thought it's going to be like this forever. You know, we're just going to sit and we're going to pray and we're going to eat together and everything's going to be awesome. But you see, the problem with this is that the church today, just like the church then, is full of people. People with their flaws and their fears and their anxieties and their judgment, right? This is, right? No one's perfect. I know I'm pretty close. Like, I'm almost there. I'm getting really close. But no one is perfect, right? And as the church got filled with more and more people, what happened was a bunch of controversies. And we see this in the book of Acts. This era of the apostolic church was filled with controversy. The first one was Ananias and Sapphira. Some of you may remember them. They're the people who they sell their house and they want to give the money, but they don't give it all. It's this huge controversy. The second major controversy that the church faced was the distribution of food to the widows, right? The church was taking care of these widows, and the Gentile widows came, and they weren't getting as much food as the Jewish widows. Like, that doesn't sound very church-like, right? It was this huge problem. The next one was the eating of unclean food. I mean, can we have bacon? How did they survive without bacon? I mean, come on, right? Seriously, they're like this huge, like Peter has this vision. There's like these sheets. It's like, what's going on? And then they start, you know, all these divisions start to take place. And I think there's so much that we can learn today, church, from these divisions that happen in the early church. And how the apostles dealt with them. And what we can learn today. Because let's be honest, you know, we're living in a crazy world, right? And if you read to the end of the book, you know it's only going to get crazier. But we as the church are called to be unified. We as the church are called to be a people that are delivering the message to the world, right? And how can we do that unless we know? Because we're people. We're going to have these problems, these issues. So how can we deal with them? We need to look to the book of Acts, I believe, to discover how the early church did. Because the biggest issue of all, what we're going to talk about most of today, the biggest issue that faced the early church that divided them and separated them and allowed Satan to get a foothold there, the biggest issue was undoubtedly circumcision. The idea, did new Gentile believers need to be circumcised or not? And let me tell you, this was an issue that made COVID seem little. I'm telling you, this was huge. This split the church, this split the apostles, this split people all over. Just a few short years after Jesus died, they're all arguing, there's infighting, there's everything going on. Why? Over circumcision. Do new Gentile believers need to be circumcised or not? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 30, these famous words. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's beautiful, right? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Peter was there the day Jesus said those words. Sometimes I wonder, as he's leading the early church, does he think, Jesus, you said it would be easy. You said your burden would be light, but I'm looking around and everyone's fighting and there's all this stuff going on. Like, it doesn't seem very easy right now, Jesus. It doesn't seem very light. So this issue of circumcision, do they have to be circumcised or not? It came to a head, and there was all this stuff going around. There were people coming and saying, you have to be circumcised, and circumcising people, and then people coming and saying, now that you've been circumcised, you're going to hell. There was this whole craziness. So the apostles decided, okay, we need to get everyone together, and we all need to have a big team leads meeting, right? We all need to get together, and we got to have a talk about this. What's going to happen? And so they called the first ever council. It was called the Council of Jerusalem, and everybody came. It was most likely in 48 AD. Some people say 49, but they're probably wrong. Not that it matters. And it was presided over by James. He was the first head of the first church council. And the whole point, the only thing they got together to talk about, it wasn't everything else, it wasn't the eating of unclean food. The only thing was, do new believers need to be circumcised or not? And as everyone poured in, there became two camps. There was the circumcision camp and the anti-circumcision camp. There's got to be a joke there. I couldn't think of one, so we'll just leave it. So these two camps, and they're debating, and there's people, powerful people, people that met with Jesus and talked with Jesus and walked with Jesus on both sides, so divided over circumcision. So what happens is Paul, he gets up, and he is the leader of the anti-circumcision party, and he says, listen, guys, I've seen the Gentiles, I've seen the Holy Spirit moving them, I've seen the acts and the deeds they're doing. There's no need for circumcision. And Peter gets up and he said, I had a vision, and I believe too that the people don't need to be circumcised. And the other people who are pro-circumcision, they get up, and the Bible doesn't record what they said, but we know that they argued and they debated. And in the end, James, who's leading this conference, he prayed, they all prayed together, and they came to the conclusion, okay, new believers do not have to be circumcised. Whew. Okay, so we're good. And he writes this letter. And he's going to send people out to deliver this letter throughout all the known churches, every place out there. And they write this letter that says basically, hey, you know, we've decided that you don't have to be circumcised, so anyone that tells you you do is lying. And James ends the letter in Acts chapter 15, verse 28. He says, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from these, you will do well. Farewell. That's how he ends it. I love that. That's what he says. So James writes this letter. They make a bunch of copies of it, and they decide, okay, we're going to deliver it to all the churches. Hey, there's no greater burden we're going to put on you than this. Don't eat food sacrificed to idols. Don't drink blood. Do not eat food that's been strangled, and abstain from sexual immorality. That's it. That's the burden we're putting on you. So everyone left this council, and the Holy Spirit was with them. Everyone's in agreement. This is what we're going to do moving forward. This is the team we're all going to be on, right? We're the anti-circumcision party now. This is what we're doing. And so Paul takes a bunch of these letters, and he's going to go deliver them. And this is the crux of my message. All this was just leading up to this point, church, because this is what I really want us to hammer home this morning. Because I believe if we take this lesson we're going to learn in the next chapter of Acts, Acts chapter 16, and we take it in our daily lives, I believe we will be able to reach people like never before. Listen to what Luke writes in Acts 16, verse 1 through 5. It says, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. So Paul had gone on his first trip, and he went through Lystra and Derbe, and there he met Lois, Timothy's grandmother, and, you know, he preached the gospel, and she accepted, and her daughter accepted, and then their son, Timothy, accepted. And now, Paul, when he met Timothy, when he saw Timothy, he saw the future. Not that long ago, we did a whole month about Timothy. He was this amazing man, and Paul saw him, and he saw this is the guy I'm going to put my mantle on. This is the guy that's going to take after me. I want to bring him under my wing, because Timothy is going to be the leader of the church when I die. And he was. Timothy would become the pastor of the largest church in the world at that time. So he sees Timothy, whose mother is Jewish, but his father is Greek. He sees him, and he, you know, instantly sees this guy is the future. And so it says in our verse, it says, the believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Okay, so this is what we're going to take home here, church. Ready? It says, Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area. So Paul, the leader of the anti-circumcision team, the guy who argued and fought at the Council of Jerusalem, no one needs to be circumcised. We don't need that. We're saved by faith alone. Takes Timothy, this guy who he's like, this is the future, and circumcises him. Does that seem strange to anybody? I mean, when we read Acts, aren't we like, Paul, a little bit hypocritical? Like, come on, what's with this? What happens? So he sees Timothy, and then he circumcises him. And then it says, in our next verse, it says, as they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for all the people to obey. So not only does Paul see Timothy, see that he's going to have this great future, circumcise, and then he says, hey, Timothy, come on this missionary journey with me to deliver a letter that says no one needs to be circumcised. Is that confusing? Come on, church, right? This is crazy. What's going on? Is Paul wrong? Is Paul changing his mind? What's happening here? And some of us might think, oh, well, maybe it's been a long time, so maybe Paul forgot. Nuh-uh. It says, right after Acts 15, it says, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city. After some days, not weeks, not months, he's not senile, he's not forgetful, after some days, he's taking this letter, delivering it to the people, and along the way he says, Timothy, you're going to be amazing. You're going to be awesome. You're going to be my future. Let's circumcise you, and then we'll get on the road. What can we learn from this, church? What can we learn from this craziness, right? And you see, I think the key, if you move a few slides back, sorry, but it says Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. Paul knew that this issue of circumcision was still this huge issue amongst people, and he really wanted to take him on the journey, but he knew if he was going to take Timothy on the journey, Timothy was going to have to carry a burden. And we live in this world where I think, and we as Christians are guilty of this too, where no one wants to carry a burden any greater than they have to. No one wants to take on a greater load. No one wants to give more than they have to. No one wants to help more than they have to. We are all like about, you know, me, right? Like, what am I doing? I'm doing so much already. You see, Paul was looking for someone willing to take on a burden. And I believe still today that what God is looking for in us is believers that are willing to take on a burden. The burden of someone else's problem, someone else's situation, to come along someone else and help them through something going on in their lives. God is looking for those, for people who are willing to take on a burden. Maybe it's a giving. Maybe it's going above that 10%. Maybe it's giving when it hurts. God is looking for people who are willing to take on a burden. Are we, church? Are we willing to take on a burden? I mean, it almost sounds like a bad word, doesn't it? Burden? Like, oh, that's not a Christian thing. But it is. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him. Timothy changed his physical being so that he was able to reach people. How many of us are willing to change our schedules to reach people? Right? Church, isn't that true? I mean, the Dodgers play Monday night. Like, if you need help, don't call me. I won't be there for you. I'm kidding. Of course I would be. No, but seriously, don't call me. No, okay. Back on track. See, church, this is awesome. I mean, like, imagine really what burden are you willing to take on? Paul came to Timothy and said, you need to change your physical self to reach people. Will you do it? Timothy said, yes. If Pastor Doug came up to me and he was like, listen, Cameron, you're doing great. You're preaching the word. Everyone loves it when you talk. It's awesome. Like, we're just so excited about you. You know, we want you to do more in the church, but listen, your nose is just so big. It's just like it casts a shadow over the people when you turn. I mean, seriously, right? So we need you to get a nose job, and then you can reach people. I'd be like, what? No way, it's my nose. Don't look at it. Everyone's looking at my nose now. This is awesome. Okay, right, church? Right? Would we change our physical selves to reach people? Is that what we're willing to do? That's the lengths that we're willing to go to reach people. Then imagine what we could be as a church. Imagine what we'd do if we walked out those doors, and that's how far we'd be willing to go for people. I don't know about you, but that oftentimes isn't my attitude. I'm like, I'm willing to go like this far and no further. I was a youth leader before a smaller church, and we would do these like guy-girl nights where like I would take the guys and Jess would take the girls, and we'd go do an event. And there was this one night where it happened that there was like no guys. I think there was like a basketball tournament or something, and there was going to be one guy. And so I was like, you know what, I'm just going to cancel. It's only going to be me and this one kid. I'm not going to do it. And, you know, I'm not going to say that the voice of God came down from heaven and was like, oh, but the closest thing I ever heard, the voice of God was in my heart at that moment. And God said, I'm looking for servants that will go as far as I tell them, that will jump as high as I tell them to jump, that will do what needs to be done. Right? Isn't that what God's looking for? Right? Is he looking for people who are like, ah, this is as far as I will go? No way. He wants people that will go that farther and then farther. Did Jesus not say, you know, if someone asks for your shirt, give them your coat also? Right? Isn't that who we serve? So what are we to do about this? What are we to do about this? See, this burden, Timothy had the right to say no. He didn't need to be circumcised to be saved. That had already been decided. But he needed to be circumcised to reach more people. And he said yes. God is looking for believers who are willing to say yes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, Paul wrote, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. That's awesome. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. That verse should stick with us. A slave is someone who carries the burdens of another. Are we willing to carry those burdens, church? Are we willing to carry the burdens of others? So I entitled my message, as we're talking about not the same, being not like others. If we're going to win others, if we're going to be like Paul, then we need to carry the burden. And I'm asking you that today. Are you willing to carry the burden? I want to go through three burdens, I think, that if we carry out into the world, we'll be amazed what will happen, what Jesus will do through us, what the Holy Spirit will work through us. We'll be amazed. Three burdens. The first burden I'm going to ask you to carry is the burden to listen. We live in a world where everyone is walking around with their volume on 11. I mean, everyone has an opinion, and an opinion about your opinion, and an opinion about politics, and an opinion about everything, right? There's no shortage of opinions out there. But I guarantee you that every time you go to Tim Hortons or Costco or wherever you shop, Costco should give me money though, seriously, right? Like a advertising thing. I guarantee you, wherever you go, wherever you walk, you will find broken, hurting people. I'm telling you, you will not get your coffee in the morning without meeting someone broken and hurting. The world is out there hurting, and what they're looking for is someone to listen. They don't need an opinion. They don't need to be persuaded about how they should vote. They don't need all that. What we need is people who will listen. These hurting people, they're just looking to talk, to communicate. You know, and maybe their opinion is crazy and wrong. Maybe it's that way because of their hurt, right? God is looking for people who will listen. James wrote in James chapter 1, he said, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Now, church, obviously I love the sound of my own voice. Like, clearly, right? I mean, I have the best opinions and I could talk and talk and talk. I really could. And you know, for me, listening is honestly just like politely waiting my turn to speak, right? You could ask Jess, it's 100% true. But you know, the Bible's so clear about what we're called to be. James writes 7 verses later, he says, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless." The stuff they're doing is worthless. Why? Because they can't rein in their tongues. Just listen to the hurt, to the pain, what's going on in people's lives. If we, as Christians, listen to people, wow, what a difference that'll make. I believe everywhere Paul went, he was listening. He was interested in who they are and what's going on in their lives. I believe as Christians, and I know this is hard, but I think we should really mean this. We should never, ever ask, "How are you?" and be wanting, "Oh, I'm good," as a response. We should always want, "How are you?" We should mean it. "How are you? Where are you at? What's going on? What's up with you?" We should mean it, church. We're Christians. We're Jesus' followers, right? We should carry the burden to listen. The second burden I want us to carry this, as we leave this morning, is the burden to not offend. The burden to not offend. Church, we live in a world where there's people that are offended by everything and this and that, and there's so many different things going on, and there's craziness out there, and you know, look on the internet, people can be offended about anything and everything. But I believe that we as Christians are called not to offend people. Doesn't matter what they are, what they do, who they are. We're called not to offend people. If something offends someone, I believe Paul shied away from it. He didn't go towards the thing that offended them. He talked about some sort of common ground. Now, he didn't change who he was. He didn't change his moral standard. But I believe Paul, wherever he went, he tried not to offend people. Now, let me be clear. The gospel message is offensive. It's the message that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that we need to change and accept him as our Lord and Savior to get to heaven. It's an offensive message. We believe that people that don't accept Jesus are going to hell. That's offensive. But I believe that we as Christians should let the gospel and the Holy Spirit do the offending and the convicting, and we should try not to offend people. If a word upsets someone, why would we use it as Christians? Right, church? If some action offends, why would we do it? Let's instead build the bridge. We don't compromise the gospel ever under any circumstances, but we can change ourselves, our language, the way we view things, the way we sing an anthem. We can change those things. Why? To reach people. Paul was a slave to everyone to reach people. He wrote in 1 Corinthians 9:22, he said, "I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I might share in its blessings." When he was in Athens, he talked philosophy. When he was in Corinth, he talked about idols. When he was in Macedon, he talked about the current events going on. Wherever Paul went, he was everything to everyone. Why? So he could reach people. Now, this didn't mean that he needed to, you know, like, get drunk to hang out with the drunks or do drugs to hang out with the drug addicts. What it meant was, wherever he went, Paul tried to relate to people exactly where they were at so he could reach them for Jesus Christ. And that's a burden. That's hard for us, right? Because we're like, well, it's my right. I can do this or I can do that. These are my rights. Well, Timothy gave up his rights. Look what he did. Paul gave up his rights. Look what he did. That's what God's calling us today, church. To not offend people with our own actions, keeping in mind that, yes, the gospel is an offensive message. And our last burden I want us to carry out the doors today is the burden to live differently. Our message, or our sermon series is called Not the Same. Not the Same. It means set apart. That's what holy is. Set apart. When I thought first about this message, the first thing that came to mind was how God called the Israelites to be different through circumcision. That's how he called them. They're physically different than anyone else around them. Today, church, we are called to live differently than everyone else around us. If people look at us and they see us doing the same things and spending our money the same way and raising our kids the same way as them, the only difference they will see is that they get to sleep in on Sundays and we don't. People should see us and they should see how we live differently. God, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 14:2, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession." Peter echoes this in his letter. He said, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Does his holy priesthood, his possession, do we act like the world? Because we certainly shouldn't, right? We should be different. We're called to this, not live the same. We're called to live differently. In everything we do, people should see us and go, "What's weird about them?" Except for his nose. That's weird. But what else? Right? Come on, church. We're chosen people. Let's live differently than the world. And again, we're not doing it to offend people or to judge people. We're living differently because we're called to that great standard that God set for us. So those are those three burdens. I want you to carry those. Carry those burdens. The burden to listen, the burden to not offend, and the burden to live differently. Well, I'm here to tell you today, church, that you do not have to carry this burden alone. Because what Jesus said was absolutely, undoubtedly true. He said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And you see, I'm asking you to carry this burden out these doors today. I'm not asking you to carry it alone, because Jesus is absolutely with you. And if you pray a prayer where you said, "Jesus, help me listen, help me see the hurting." If you say, "Jesus, help me to not offend people and to reach people and their culture." If you say, "Jesus, help me to live differently," that's a dangerous prayer, because I guarantee you he will. And it will stretch you, and it will change you, and it will change us, church. Jesus does not want us to carry these burdens alone. He's there, ready to carry us when we need to be carried, coming alongside us. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. But that doesn't mean we don't carry these things. We just carry them with him and become more like him and are perfected in our faith. Isn't that amazing, church? So I'm asking you to carry these three burdens out those doors into the world and see what we can do. Because I'm telling you, if this is our attitude, if we have this attitude like Timothy, "Yes, I'll do that. Yes, I'll do what it takes. Yes, I'll go that far. Yes, I'll jump that high. Yes, I'll give them my coat." We will reach people, and Lethbridge and Colehurst and Coaldale and Raymond and wherever else you come from will absolutely change. So do not go out this place feeling condemned or like you have to do it all on your own, because you don't. Jesus is absolutely, undoubtedly there with you, ready to carry you, ready to change you. If you don't know this Jesus, if you don't know who he is, today is your day. Today is your day. If you've been going through life and you feel like, man, the yoke isn't easy, it's hard. It's hard slugging. You're breaking new ground everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, the burdens are heavy. I'm here to tell you today, you don't have to carry that anymore. All you have to do is believe in Jesus, and you will be saved. No, I promise, we will not circumcise you, 100%. All you have to do, I'm going to pray a prayer. It's so simple. All you got to do is raise your hand, pray after me, And then Jesus will be your Savior. And then if you want to after that, you can come up and you can be baptized, because we're doing that. That's so exciting. But first, we're going to close in prayer. So I'm going to pray for us, church, that we would carry these burdens with Jesus. Let him carry us doing these burdens, and that we would reach people. I'm also going to pray for anyone here who doesn't know Jesus. If you want to know him, today is your day. Now is your time. It will be the greatest decision you ever make. Let's bow our heads. Dearly Father, I thank you that you sent your Son to bear the burden of our sin and the weight of all our iniquity. And you put it all on him. And when he died on that cross, he forgave all our sins. He went to that cross, dying that death, knowing each of our sins before and after, God. And I pray and I ask, God, that today would help us to carry the burden, that we would listen, that we would not offend, and that we would live differently. Send your Holy Spirit to help us, show us what area we need to work on in our lives, what thing we can do better so that we can reach people, that we can come, like Paul, being all things to everyone so that we might reach some. God, show each and every one of us what we need to do. And I ask you to send your Holy Spirit, send your Son right alongside us to carry these burdens, that we wouldn't walk out with condemnation or feelings of guilt or inadequacy, God, but we know we were called by you, we are justified by you, and we are doing your work, and you are with us, and you are for us, and you are around us as we go, Jesus. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would be with each member of City Light Church as we go into our community, that we would carry these burdens to people, and that we would engage in real, authentic relationships to make disciples for Jesus Christ. Father, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, Holy Spirit, be with them now. They know who they are. You're with them. If they're at home, online, if they're here today, God, I'm going to ask them, raise your hand. And Holy Spirit, be with them. Encourage them. Just be with them now to come over any fear or any doubt and raise their hand. I'm going to ask you on the count of 1, 2, 3, raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Raise the hand. Online, click the link, click the hand. Thank you, Jesus. If you are here today, you said that prayer, you're online, just repeat this simple prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I thank you for loving me. I ask you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior forever. Amen. Jesus, I pray that each and every one of us here would leave carrying something for you, God, because you are so undoubtedly worth it. And we know that when we carry something for you, your yoke is easy and your burden truly is light. We glorify you and honor you in all that we do. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.